from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
1-1. Swung on. That's hit deep to left. If it's fair, it's gone. It's fair, it's gone. A three-run homer for Connor Wong, and that was totally crushed. The Red Sox lead 6-0 in the fifth.
Nadell with the call. Another Rangers loss. I see everyone getting it with the fist pump on the fan cam. Final hour, hump day edition on your home. Say it while we can, because it's about to be over of the World Series champs. And joining us on the fan cam, just like Brian brought us, with a smirk on his face, is Odyssey Baseball Insider Brett Boone via the D&M Leasing Hotline. Is it over for the champs, Brett?
I hate to say it, I think it's over, yes. I think it's, we're getting to the point in the season that, you know, you know me, I've always been keeping my eyes saying, I'm not closing the casket yet. I've closed it. I've been waiting. It's just not going to happen this year. You know, I thought they'd, by this point, something would click and they'd get on a run. They just haven't been able to do it. You know, Scherzer came back. He went down. Gray's down. It's just not in the cards, I don't think, this year offensively. I was looking at the numbers from a year ago in 2023 compared to the numbers today. Pretty similar pitching-wise. But offensively, obviously, that's been the story for Texas this year. It just hasn't been that same dominant offense that was probably number one in the American League a year ago. So, yeah, I think it's going to – that division now is going to go to Seattle and Houston. Houston's getting hot. So, you know, it's gonna be a battle. I don't think there's going to be a wild card team that comes from the American League West. I think there's just going to be one team this year.
So what happens in the clubhouse? What happens at the dugout? What happens on the field when you – kind of reach a point where you realize that it's over? Like, it's, you know, you're at, there's a guy on second, nobody out, you're not interested in just hitting the ball to the right side, you're taking selfish at bats. Like, what goes on throughout the team?
No, I think the great teams I've been on, you never stop playing the game correctly. I mean, that's what creates that unbelievable chemistry that you have in the field, because you play the game right and you play for one another. And if I do it and the guy behind me does it, and the guy behind me does it, you know, if a Simeon and a Seager and a Garcia play the game correctly, well, that 26 man on the roster is going to play the team correctly. You never stop playing the game right. And as a player, we are very stubborn. We're sitting here and I'm admitting that it's over on the radio, but these players in the clubhouse, they don't. We're kind of naive when it comes to this. Until you actually tell us it's over, we don't think it's over. So those guys in the clubhouse, they're listening going, it's not over yet. Yeah, you know, I know it's a lot to come back from, but they're holding on to a little bit of hope. When you get to a point when when it doesn't look likely, you got to find something to play for. You got to get up in the morning and find some reason to go to the ballpark and be productive. And that's spoiling somebody else's chances. So I think going into September, you'll see that a lot playing for, it's kind of rewarding in a weird way when you knock somebody out of the playoffs, when you have a team that's in the hunt and you go in and you sweep them in a series, you beat them 2 out of 3 and knock them out of contention. So they're going to play spoilers in September. That's what you got to find some reason to suit it up.
Odyssey insider Brett Boone joining us here 105 through the Fan. There's a chance that Jake DeGrom comes back still this year, even though they're so far out of it. Would you bring him back if it's in September and they have no chance to get some of that rust out, or would you give him the extra 6 months of recovery time and just pick him up at spring training?
Well, let me think. Let me put myself in the position of the player of DeGrom. He's got to do it for himself, for the mental side that, okay, I can come back from this. You know, this season may be over for the Texas Rangers, but for him, he's got to show that, all right, I can come back and I feel good. From the mental side too, from a teammate's perspective, is, all right, we got DeGrom. Okay, this year's done, but coming in 2025, did you see what DeGrom did down the stretch? Man, that gives us some hope for next year. DeGrom, Evaldi. I think you definitely come back. You definitely don't push him and kind of force the situation. Maybe he comes back a little later than he normally would if they're in a pennant race. But I think definitely for peace of mind for Jason, absolutely comes back this year.
Brett, you mentioned that, you know, you look at last year and the way they hit the baseball and how they were offensively, there was a lot there that's just, it hasn't clicked into place the same way this year. As they start evaluating the future a little bit, how much do they need to potentially weigh the idea that last year was a peak, that this is not a down year and you're not going to get a bounce back next year? How much do they need to consider that last year was a peak and they need changes offensively?
Well, I last year was a peak. I mean, when you lead the American League in essentially every offensive category, of course that's a year where everything goes great. That's a perfect scenario. But also, I think I look at them this year and they're kind of middle of the pack or down in the American League in the lower third in every offensive category. I think they're a better team than that. I think they're definitely still offensively one of the better teams in the American League, just haven't lived up to it this year. So, yeah, maybe they're not the number one offense in baseball, but they're definitely not the 10th or 11th best in the American League either. So I don't know how much. I think you look at the injuries that they've had, you know, and a lot of teams have injuries. I'm not making excuses for them, but you haven't had a Young at third base or a Carter. A lot of the pitchers been on and off the IL. You lost Lorenzen, who did a great job for you this year. He went on at the trading deadline, and I don't blame him for that. Bradford just came back. Dunning's been on and off the IL. So there's been a lot of things that haven't gone their way. But then again, a lot of teams have had those struggles this year. So I don't think it's a revamping, maybe a little bit of a tweaking, but getting those pitchers healthy. And this is what I'm figuring out. The longer I watch this game, and especially in 2024, there are so many injuries that throughout Major League Baseball, it's so important now to stay healthy because nobody does. So the healthy team seems to win these days because the injuries are just, it just seems like every day, oh, let's put them on the IL for 10 days. Maybe we'll move them to the 15th. I mean, it just seems like no big deal. Whereas in the past, the injuries weren't as prevalent. So today the team that stays injury free is usually the team that comes out on top.
Brett, did you feel like the skill level of trainers was actually a thing? Like, you had a great trainer, this guy's definitely better, this one is not. Is that a thing?
I definitely have had training staffs that I preferred, but no, it's really not a thing. I think it's a culture. It's, you know, and I had this discussion a few days ago. I forget who I was having it with. It was on air, and I was asked the question, who's tougher, Brett, you or your dad? And I thought about it. I laughed. I said, well, I think I'm a pretty tough guy. But I said, definitely my dad was tougher. And when I think about that, definitely my grandfather was tougher than my dad. It was a different time. They came up in a different generation.
Yeah.
I think our generation is definitely tougher than this generation. You know, I have a son that plays in the minor league, and I tell him all the time, you're a wuss. I'm definitely tougher than you. Obviously kidding. But no, it's the way the kids are brought up today. It's not necessarily their fault, but they're taught to, hey, if you're not 100%,
yep,
we can't be playing. Now, I look at the business side. I look at the owner of the franchise, and I look at the money being put out for these guys. The money is tremendous. And if I'm an investor, if I'm a business owner, maybe I protect my $20, $30 million player a little more than in past years. But it's definitely the culture. They definitely baby these guys in the minor leagues. Oh, if you've got an injury, hey, we're going to take your time on it. In my day, hey, tape this thing up. I had a trainer by the name of Rick Griffin in Seattle. He was there 30, 40 years from the time I came up as a kid, and he just retired recently. But if I had a little nagging injury, I'd go to Rick and say, here's the deal. My ankle hurts. Tape the crap out of it, and I'm playing today. Are you sure? I'm sure. Now, that comes with being a veteran player, an established player. You're going to have a little more clout than you do when you're a rookie. When you're a rookie, you're going to be told what you're going to do. But we had a little bit of latitude where we could say, I'm fine. This doesn't go past me and you, and we go on. Nowadays, it's, man, if there's an injury, come here. We're going to assess it. It comes from the top down, and you're on the IL for 10 days. And that's just the culture. That's not the fault of the player. It's just the way the game is today.
Brett, I was going to ask you about your brother loses by 10 to the White Sox, but I'll shift because you mentioned your son, and this is a baseball question. So the sport today, when you were playing, when we were growing up, batting average they cared about, and nowadays it's slugging percentage. It's all the other. Does Jacob care about batting average? Do you think we'll ever get back to a point where the players and the teams value batting average, or are we on this exit velocity or bust kind of trend?
I think it'll be back because it is a valuable tool. And you're right. In my day, I was if you were a middle of the order guy, especially you were judged on three categories, and that was average, home runs, and RBIs. And RBIs maybe being the most important. I see the OPS and the on-base percentage as being a valuable tool, without a doubt. I'm not going to dismiss that. But I'm going to give you the scenario. You come up late in the game, and you're facing an elite closer. What's the one thing elite closers don't do? They don't walk you. They don't walk you. In my day, it was Mariano Rivera, Trevor Hoffman. I'm not going up in the ninth looking for a walk because they're not going to do it. That's why they're elite closers. That's why guys late in the game are elite, because they don't walk you. So if we eliminate the walk, who do I want coming to the plate with the game on the line and a big, big at bat? I need a guy that can get a hit. I need a guy that's hitting 305, not a guy's hitting 212 with a 350 on base percentage, because my on base percentage ain't helped me in that situation. I think it's definitely something that's been pushed to the side. I think wrongly so. I understand the day and the age of the OPS. I think it is important, but I think you're going to see average come back, and people are going to start to respect the guys that hit for average. That's why maybe even today with the criteria is the way it is. The guys that are hitting 300, it kind of pops off the page. Wow, you're hitting 300 in today's world. That's pretty impressive. And I think you're going to see something that it does come back.
Brett, Mookie Betts was in the news again this week because he has refused to stay at the team hotel in Milwaukee for the second year in a row. He's booked a separate room because he doesn't want to stay at the Pfister Hotel, which is allegedly haunted.
It's haunted.
So yes. That's what I was going to ask. Are you familiar with this hotel?
That's a famous
and what was
place,
your experience?
Baby. By the way, it's the Puff Pfister. It's not spelled Pfister.
Sorry.
Oh, there's a P.
Pfister.
There's a P. Fist.
You know what? Maybe it's haunted. Maybe it's not. It's not the greatest hotel. It's probably the worst hotel. And it, you know, there's a certain, we have a circuit, and most of the teams usually stay kind of at the same hotels. Maybe in Dallas, one team stays here, another team stays there. But for the most part, the team hotel is the team hotel for most of the teams that come through. I don't know. I mean, I
do you believe in ghosts? That's what we're trying to ask.
Not really. No, I, when I went to the Pfister, I started looking for him. I wanted to have a story, baby. I wanted to come out of there with something big. Never happened. As far as Mookie doing that, you know, who cares? All I know is Mookie's one of my best players. I'm going to the postseason. I need him to be in a good frame of mind. I need him to be ready. Stay wherever you want, Mookie. Just show up at 7 o'clock and get some hits.
Brett, thank you so much for changing up the time for us today. We appreciate it, man. We look forward to doing it again.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Brett Boone, Odyssey Baseball Insider, joining us from an Odyssey original. It's the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the most notable names in baseball and all around sports every week. Back out to Oxnard, getting you ready for the Rams scrimmage today with Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com, right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Next up on the Fan Cam, YouTube, and Twitch is Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. And he is in Oxnard yet again for the Hump Day edition.
Hey,
here on
day.
Sean and RJ via the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, man. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know who that was. Was that Bobby?
It was Ollie. It was not me. It was Sean's son, Oliver.
And mocking my child, my poor 4-year-old.
I like his hair. I'm not like Corey Majors.
That's right. Are you missing your kids yet, Nick?
Oh, my God, yes. And the first day of school and all that stuff.
Oh, what a bullet you dodged there.
I don't know. Yeah. But it's been we're all over the map, you know. We got one going to college, we got one going, you know, it's 4 years old. I mean, we're everywhere. It's extreme.
Man, we were talking
senior.
We were talking about our wife guilt for being out there for 10 days. Imagine if you were Nick Eatman. Mm. I'd be divorced.
I'm going home early. I mean, after the Raiders game.
Did you say it? Because I was at camp in 2008. I had just gotten married 3 weeks in. I was out there for the full month in 2008, and I did get divorced. So ironic you said that.
I know. They don't care about. And then you even bring them out there and take them to practice to show what you're doing during the day, and that it's not this crazy, amazing circus with fireworks popping off that they're putting on shells and walking through, and they still don't care. They see it for themselves, right? You've brought the missus out there.
No, I haven't. I haven't. Ever? That's the problem. Yeah. No, that's the problem.
That is the problem, bro. You couldn't let her walk the beach for one time in 25 years or 15 years?
All right, this is what I got up for. All right, I can get this at any time.
Yeah, right, that's a good point. All right, yesterday Bobby and our crosstalk broke the news about Udoga and the broken toe. Do you think that they're freaking out, or are you freaking out more? Are you going with the veteran experience, knowledge of the playbook at left tackle, or the young first round pick?
I think obviously going with the young first round pick. I mean, I think he gives you a better chance to win right now. I mean, not just with walking boot or not. I mean, I think that Guyton, when he's healthy, and I say that like because he was sick last week, but I believe he gives them a better chance to win and stop or let's say contain Myles Garrett. I think if you've seen the practices here, he does a better job against Micah Parsons than Chuma does. Now he's going to have his issues too, because you know speed rushers. I think he can handle power rushers are going to be a little bit of a problem for him early. And Myles Garrett, guys like that are both. But I do think that he's going to keep learning on the run. I think he's the better option for you. It's just with Chuma, it's your depth. It's your guy that can play both a swing tackle, can play some guard. That's, I think, going to be the biggest blow.
Nick, you know, whenever there's a draft selection, first round pick, any of the picks, really, that is a group decision. Like that's come to that decision through a process that involved a lot of different opinions. So picking Tyler Guyton in the first round doesn't necessarily mean everybody was as on board as other people in there. Do you think part of the slow play for Guyton is Mike Solari still wants to see him prove some stuff to him?
Probably. I mean, I think he had to sell him from the jump. I don't think Solari was you know, team Guyton from the very beginning. I mean, I think, you know, you had to watch his tape a little bit more, watch him, you get to know him, talk to him, pro day, that kind of stuff. And I think he grew on the entire, you know, Cowboys process there. But as far as, like you said, the slow play, I kind of got the sense that was more of a Chuma thing. Like, we're getting your confidence up too. You're a good player. We're going to need you. That kind of stuff. And maybe there's some mind games going there on both sides of it. But I think if he was sick, it wasn't sick last week, I think he would have taken all the reps. I think the plan was to get him going. It was like a couple of days. It was supposed to be a couple of days. And that's why he, was supposed to be starting, but it took him a little bit longer. But he's the guy now. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Nick, then is that the same thing that we're seeing right now with Cooper Beebe in terms of this is the plan all along and he's now potentially in line to win the starting job?
I didn't think so. But it does sound like that's kind of what's happening. But for him, I don't know if you can say the same that he gives you the best chance. I don't know. I think BB's getting an opportunity to start, but I don't think he gives them the best chance. And we'll find out. I mean, we'll find out. It's the shotgun snaps. He's going to have to prove it there. He's going to get a chance to do that. I still feel like at the end of the day, Hoffman will probably be the better option there.
Nick Eatman on the D&M Leasing Hotline from Oxnard, California, here on Sean and RJ. Brian Broaddus at 840 said that Malik Davis was like kind of the new hot name out there. What has he been doing?
Did I
mishear that,
no,
Bobby?
No, that's what he said.
That hit me.
Yeah, well,
2.3 yards of carry.
As I'm looking at the stats, I see 8 for 18. Yeah, I thought he had an opportunity the other day, and it wasn't overwhelming from in the game. Now I understand it's more than that, you know, out here at practice. I don't see where he fits, honestly. I don't see where he fits in under this team. I think Rico Dowdle is going to be a guy that'll help him. I do. I like the way he's running the ball. Obviously, you have Zeke. And then, you know, something's got to give with this fullback tight end sub. There's so many tight ends. There's so many fullbacks. I think Lipke's got a spot. I know they really like Royce Freeman when he's healthy from a special team standpoint. So I don't know where Malik Davis fits. And I'm not going to question Brian. He's scouted a lot more than I've ever done. But the thing with Davis, to me, I just like, what is special? Is he's not fast. He's not super quick. He's not really big. You know, I don't know. I don't know where that is. I think he's solid, but I don't. I just don't see where he fits into the mix here.
I agree. There's a reason Broadus is on the radio, not scouting anymore. I agree with you, Nick. Okay. Deuce Vaughn, is he in trouble? Well, you mentioned all those names.
Yeah, I know.
And
I
no Deuce Vaughn.
Him. Yeah, I think so. I think he is. Nice story. It was great. But you got to do something and this year. And unfortunate injury for him to be out like that. I think he should be coming back pretty soon. But this was his time. It was those preseason games, the second half of those preseason games, where he was able to do some things and keep him on the roster. I think, you know, practice squad is probably, you know, his spot. And I just don't see what he's done or hasn't done that's going to let another team say, oh, we got to have him on our 53.
How has Zeke looked to you?
I think he's been okay. There's been some, I mean, and I say okay because, you know, you don't running backs every time they get the ball, they go all the way to the end zone, yeah. You know? I mean, so it is tough to tell. His style is not going to be one that's going to, you're going to just put on display out here at practice. There's been a couple of moments where it looks, you know, he looks pretty good, maybe getting to the open field. The Rams game, I'm sorry, practice, the Rams practice last Thursday, he had a couple of nice runs where you could tell, you know, he cut it up in there and got six or seven. I think the first two carries he got like 13 yards. So, you know, that was solid. And then Rico goes for like 35. Again, practice, and they're figuring out things too on the Rams side. We'll see that today. But I think he's looked okay. His running style is going to be one that you'll see the effects, I think, in the game.
Who's been really cool to watch up close on the Rams?
Well, I it wasn't cool for Awesome Richards, but number 8, is that Verse?
Jared
them?
Verse.
Oh, my God. I don't know if y'all saw the clip or the highlight where it was a one-on-one drill, and he put Awesome on his back and then put it, you know, did the basketball like little boy, you know, like you're too small type yeah. thing. And said, sit down, little guy, stay down. I was like, that wasn't good. And then on the next rep, like Awesome gets up and is like, oh, let's do it again. You know, I was thinking it was going to be like one of those Rudy moments where it's like, you know, do it again. And it wasn't as good. It still wasn't good. He didn't put him down, but he went around him this time. And it was like, oh, man. So, when you ask me about the Rams, and again, I'm still the Parcells line. I'm trying to keep my own house from burning down, but I do remember him. He was pretty good.
Nick, you know, when we look at the roster and where things are at, you mentioned you didn't think the center position was an area where we were having a competition. What left on the starting lineup on both sides of the ball? What left is actually a genuine competition, you think, as we stand today on August 14th?
You know, and I say that about center. I didn't think I still think Hoffman will win, but it is a competition. Let me reiterate that. I mean, if you wouldn't be at this point in camp and not give those reps to BB if they didn't want to, you know, make that a competition. I just feel like Hoffman gives you a better shot, honestly. But to answer your question, I think I'm not sold at defensive tackle. I just don't know what they have. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I think there's some spots out there that could be they could sign players from other teams or trade or whatever. And I just think the Mozzie and Osa at defensive tackle, I think you could get better there. And so that's one where I see, you know, something happening. Linebackers, corners, safeties, I think are pretty good, pretty solid. Tight ends, got too many tight ends at this point. That might be your trade spot. But I think center, and I still wouldn't be surprised if another running back is into this mix. So that's why I didn't answer the Malik Davis thing. I just think that – even, you know, when you talk about Zeke and Rico and Royce Freeman, I think when you, if those are your top three backs, somebody's going to be available there before camp that would make more sense.
Thank you, Nick. We'll do it on Friday.
See you guys. All right.
Nick Eatman brought to you by the WinStar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. We crosstalk with everybody. The KMC Masterpiece joins us all next. Let's crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece here for the Hump Day Edition.
Hey.
On 105.3 The Fan.
Did RJ, you, that was weak. What's
really
happening?
I mean, it's just, you know, I'm just doing it.
Did you help out in the cause?
That's a good point.
You know?
Can you do it again?
No. Corey, what's coming up?
Hump Day!
Oh, man.
At 11:20, my buddy's an idiot. 12:20, not related to that, Bruce Bochy. And then I'm just making sure I separate that, Kevin. Sometimes commas don't work, you know, whenever you're talking out loud. And then at 10, right out of the gate, Kevin wants to move all of primetime
afternoon
instead.
I heard that really long tease. What was it again?
Oh, man. That is a fair critique.
What was the topic?
All of the primetime sports, we're moving them to the afternoon.
So y'all don't get half shows enough?
Some of them. Not Rangers games to take over for our show.
And this is because of Olympic ratings?
I think it's partially because of Olympics, but also if you look back at like the NCAA tournament and several other things that have shown that, especially on the weekends, man, you can get a huge rating.
And has this shown networks that we don't have to start at 9 o'clock or 9:30 since the Olympics put up these numbers? Or did people just watch the replay of it at night?
Versus
the afternoon numbers.
The live numbers were really impressive. And so I think that, and like I said, the tournament, plus you can look back at the history of the NBA finals, like even when it became more attractive, like Michael Jordan's first final game was played at 2:30 in the afternoon. You can have these games then, and it's not a death sentence for your ratings.
Like that's been my argument, and I love Inside the NBA and Charles, but I'm like, is it really worth the money for TNT? How many people watch them on the East Coast after a doubleheader is done?
How often do you think about that? Like if we complain it's late, if you live on the East Coast, it's an hour later.
Oh my God, awful.
It's just, there's no redeeming quality to the Eastern time zone.
But it brought us you?
Ooh, I don't know.
Well, the Eastern time zone brought us choppy?
Yeah, did it not?
I mean, I did live there.
Were you created in the Eastern time zone?
That's what I was thinking.
I was created in the Eastern time zone.
That's one thing.
I think. Pretty sure I was. But, like, you know, I do like that, you know, back when I was a churchgoer, Sean, before I grew up.
That sounded really...
Yikes.
Well, no, like, I was forced as a child to go. But you would, you know, you would get done.
Like you, like, grew up and matured out of it.
No. You would get done at noon.
Yes.
And then you still had an hour before the first NFL game started on Sunday.
Oh.
So here you get done at noon, and then you're missing the first 30 minutes of the game. So there
or
was
I adjust
that.
When I go to church, but yes.
Or you can adjust when you go to church, but I would go to the 11 o'clock.
Yep.
I was the 11 o'clock mass guy. So even when I moved here and I was still...
Mass.
I was never a mass guy.
Yes.
And when I moved here, I was still going to church because I was still, you know...
Yeah.
Mom told me to.
Yeah.
Mom says, you're going to church.
Oh, I got you.
I'm just mad. But you missed the first 30 minutes. Bobby, you don't know about mom telling you what to do.
No, I don't. I'm just mad that we get the next like three Super Bowls, or one's going to be in Central, and then the next two are going to be in West. So we're still not going to be able to experience a 7 o'clock show at Super Bowl.
And it's really going to suck when the Monday after the Super Bowl gets passed as a holiday, and it will not affect us whatsoever.
Do you want that day off?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I want any day off.
Okay, that's fair.
But
that's fair.
We can't take it off.
Why not? You can do whatever
you want.
Cowboys
take it off. We can.
Good point.
It just feels like one of those days you can't take off.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Get a comp day. Comp day.
That's true. You can't get a comp day.
You tell President's Day is very important to you.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. There's a report out that the 49ers are still trying to work out a long-term deal with Brandon Ayuk, but also have agreed to parameters of a trade to send him to Pittsburgh.
I got a question for y'all.
This is what's taken so long for CeeDee Lamb's contract. This is the last leaf.
We're waiting on Ayuk to get paid.
What about Chase? How much is it worth you? How much contract value difference would it need to be to go to football irrelevancy? So, like, or not irrelevancy, like, but like to take a step down. So, like, how much money is the difference between you're like, man, San Francisco might go to the Super Bowl versus, hey, Pittsburgh is a team?
It's a good question.
Are they going to give him more than New England, who was going to give him $32 million, and he said no?
Let's say Pittsburgh is giving him $2 million more per year than San Francisco. It's like 33 versus 31.
I mean, I wouldn't think it's worth it, but I also, how much has he been just gotten salty over how the negotiations have gone?
True.
And what's the pressure from the union, if there is any, if that matters? Matters to some.
He seems like he wants to, like, with Washington being a top choice, he wants to be with his buddy, Jaden Daniels. So there must be some buddy factor with Pittsburgh.
Plus, it's his first payday, right? Like, go back and ask that for Devontae. That's why I was critical of Devontae Adams. I don't want to hear any crying and any whining of leaving Green Bay to go to his childhood team.
Yep.
I want to play with Carr. Okay, you're about to be irrelevant. And now he can't wait
to get
out of there. And we're also not the ones getting 34 versus 31. Right. But they offered in the 30s, New England?
The report was New England had offered him 32, the A.J. Brown deal, basically.
And San Fran was at, what, 25, 26?
Their initial offer, yeah.
Ooh, that's a lot of difference.
How much does union pressure play in, Mike, like in baseball? Like, how much does unions pressure players?
It plays, because I think I can just go back to when Weaver stayed with the Angels. Am I remembering that correctly? Yeah,
Jared Weaver. Yeah.
That was like, upsetting to the players union, because he took about, they thought, $5 million less per year. And he's like, I don't care. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to live. This is plenty of money for me. And they're like, if you would have hit the free agent market, you would have made $5 million more per year. We have projections on all the players that are going to be free agents. And now you took the market down. Now the competitive market says that a number one pitcher will sign for this much money. So now we have to fight that.
Yeah. That sucks, man. Yeah. That sucks to get that type of pressure, right? Because moving, I mean, that's one thing I give these guys credit for. This is the thought of packing up and moving.
Everything.
Oh, miserable.
Yeah.
Miserable. Relocate, learn this, learn that.
Find a new school for your kids.
Yes. Yeah.
I wouldn't imagine Ayuk would feel the same pressure from the PA. I mean, I'm sure it exists to some extent. But they're generally, I know the NFLPA has been concerned about, are you in position to potentially reset the market? If so, you have an obligation to do it. Like, that they feel like you, if you are in a position to do it and you can negotiate that, quarterbacks feel it all the time. Like, there's this decade run of quarterbacks continuously just resetting the market that they're like, none of you are going to stop this. If you get in the way and stop, there's a ton of pressure on the quarterbacks.
What a pressure to make 50 a year. I know.
Yeah. Is it weird that pressure 55. Is there?
Man,
like, I'm saying they're being pressured. They're feeling the heat.
Mahomes,
like, don't do this.
There were a lot
of people at the PA who were really upset with Patrick Mahomes.
How are they this heated about these negotiations? But when it comes to negotiations with the NFL,
their own contract,
they're like, sounds good, we'll take it.
Because it just keep the money flowing in. Like, the negotiate that kind of stuff, that's different from I'm negotiating directly with the owner and you're going to pay me more and we're going to do that.
I think it was Jeff Schwartz. I heard him say, like, we are not wired, NFL players, we will not miss games. Like, we will not miss, I'm sorry, we will not miss a chance at a Super Bowl. So, like, what baseball did, where they struck at the end of the season. He goes, we will not do that. He goes, we will take a worse deal because we only have X amount of years. There is no chance, we're not wired to skip a postseason. And that's the problem. And he even said,
at the end of a year.
Yeah, he said, we know we are going to get worse player union deals because of it. And we just accept that.
I'll ask you, because you always try to screw me in these crosstalks.
What?
Who at the fan is, who messes it up for all of us? Who's the Patrick Mahomes of the fan messing it up, all the contracts for everybody else?
Oh, my goodness.
The pressuring of
me.
I see head nods. Fan cam, if you're watching.
I'm not sure. I'll have to think about that and get back with you.
All right.
It's me. I don't have to think about it.
I don't think it's you.
I just have to think about if I should say it into a microphone.
Mike could command $500,000 a year if he wanted to.
Oh. From here?
Yeah. From anywhere.
He's not taking a pay cut.
You can command whatever you want from wherever. That's me.
He's like T.O.
I think Chop messes it up.
Me?
Yes. I mean, not like I'm not being dead serious, but kind, but kind.
You know what I got?
Oh, I don't think you know what you got. You don't even know when your deal's up. Are you in?
No, I do. You in Boston?
That I believe. No, but I know who messes it up on road trips. It's all you non-expensers. Bobby,
I expense.
Tim, Bassick for a while.
Broadus.
I tried to expense, and the computer's like, "Hey, we're not giving you any money back." And I'm like,
"That's an interesting response. I've not encountered that one before."
The only one I don't like is they're like, "Hold on, you tipped 16%. Send it back and do it again." And you're like, "Oh my god,
is it still limited at that?"
I think it is 15%.
15%.
I don't know. I just get my $20 and move on about my life.
Look at you. Mr. Pool in the backyard and Mr. New House. And
hold on. Don't you have a new house and a pool in your backyard?
So I was.
Wait, here's the next question. Does Sean make the most money at the Fan as a person?
Sounds like it. I mean,
what sounds like it?
I think it's by far you do. I think Gavin Dawson's second.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that you would think that of me.
What do you think? Am I right or wrong?
Who makes the least? 877-881-1053.
Holy moly.
Put that on the Reddit page.
Oh, man, Reddit. There's a guy, Kite, who hates us.
What's his name?
Kite?
Kite?
Kite? Yeah.
But
did you tell him to go Kite? Fly yourself?
No. He gave great explanation on
our show. Have you not heard this yet?
I was like, he really listens.
Oh yeah, here. Let me read this for you, Sean.
Oh my god! I don't want to hear this again.
Oh yeah,
you actually went to it.
I clicked because Bobby like tagged us in a Facebook post yesterday, and I was like, "Oh, what is this?" And I clicked on it, and I was like, "Oh." And right there at the right there in my face was where'd it go?
Well, Corey goes, don't look
you
at the Reddit page.
Him, Corey.
And then he goes, but let me read you this one thing.
Oh, right. Now I want to hear it.
Here it is from K Height.
Oh, not Kite?
K-H-E-I-T-7.
You said it was Kite.
I don't know.
Kite
it looks like Kite. I don't know, man.
H is silent.
What's your ranking of the shows?
No.
Number one, G-Bag Nation. Broadus is so knowledgeable about the Cowboys and the NFL, of Chiafalo and Woolchuck. It doesn't annoy me when Broadus constantly interrupts everybody. But he's a goofy old guy.
Wait a second. He did this for every show?
Sean and RJ, number two. Sean's jerk energy is effing hilarious.
Oh.
And the way he talks down to Chop, and especially Bobby, is so good.
I should be paid the highest.
Bobby is like your one friend in high school who always has to say outlandish and annoying S just for effect. But it's funny enough.
This guy's deadly accurate.
And he redeems himself with good scouting info on the boys.
Kite.
And then it just doesn't. It says three, get right with Reg.
Oh,
four, okay. Doesn't even say four, just says worst. KNC masterpiece.
Let's hear this write up.
Holy S, this show was horrible. All the hosts are immature with their childish, and that's where I lost it, so I don't know like what the rest of it is. So
he likes,
conveniently lost the rest.
So he likes,
I'll get
that
it for
you're,
you,
yeah, sure. Pull it up.
No, I can't, like,
he likes
look
that
at my computer.
Broadus is a funny old man, but he was like, but this one. Too far.
Bobby, read the rest of this amazingly deadly accurate recap.
Holy S, this show is horrible. All the hosts are immature and go on and on with their childish bits. Corey's voice is like nails on a chalkboard. Kevin, you've got your weird religious leaning, apparently.
Oh, wow.
And Mike acts like I'm not going to read all this. Mike acts like the funny, angry guy all the time, but in reality, he's just an angry bleep hole.
Oh!
I use Odyssey to avoid listening to this show because it's that bad.
Oh, no.
Man! Go fly kite. Man.
But he had to listen to give an opinion.
That's a good point.
He
as
knew.
Long as you listened, I appreciate it. Yeah,
appreciate it.
He just stopped listening, it sounds like.
All right.
I wonder what show he listens to from 10 to 2.
Like, also, like how, like, if you think it's childish, how
probably
serious
our podcast.
Do you want sports radio to be?
Facts.
Right?
Kite, like, I
it's
think.
It's not that important.
He ranked us second. Be quiet.
Yeah, like, Kite, I think you were good.
Why are you Chop? What are you doing?
Don't be angry about it.
I'm not angry.
I'm sticking up for my guys
here. Yeah, Chop's saying this is a station, not individual shows.
Yeah,
he wants everybody to be successful.
Show. That's right.
It's one giant show. Until Amy Lawrence or whatever.
Oh, my. The KMC Masterpiece is coming up next.
I don't get that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.